So I went to bed last night, and right as I was drifting off to sleep, kind of one of my last thoughts was, I wonder what tomorrow is. I wonder what day it is tomorrow. And then in a panic of a moment, I went, it's Sunday. And then I thought, well, that shouldn't be terrible. And then my second thought was, well, I'm glad it's Sunday because I'm going to get to share on one of the most important exciting messages I ever get to share, and that is on the matter of encouragement. And I want us to focus on the matter of being encouraged today by being in the Lord's house and by being in the Word. When we ask ourselves the question, do we need encouragement? Of course, the answer is we all need encouragement. We all like to be encouraged. This world is declining, it is decaying, it is destructive, it is cruel. It's not bent on building up. It's set on tearing down and lessening all of the people of the world. And in addition to that, the world's value is contrary to the value that we hold to, which is the value of Christian values that we aspire to and that we possess. And as we look around us, we realize that our way of life, the Christian value, the Christian way of life, is increasingly being diminished everywhere we turn. Now, it's important for us not to have an us versus them mentality when it comes to our Christian value and the subtle and not so subtle persecution that comes from the value of the world, because there is the necessity, there is the responsibility that we have as the believing community, as the church, to give the message of hope, to give the message of Jesus to a world that is bent on destruction and decay. In other words, as we live this life in Christ, as we live this message and delivering of hope and encouragement to our world, we can gain traction, we can gain ground on the destruction that is the world in which we live as one more person comes to know Jesus, as one more person comes to exchange the blood of Christ for salvation and forgiveness. We can gain more and more of the ground that is our calling as the world fights against us. And so, as we think of this matter of encouragement, in order for us to be battling the destruction that is in the world, we need to be built up. We need to be encouraged. We need to be strengthened in our resolve to message to the world the values of Christ. And so we ask ourselves the question, where do we get our encouragement? Well, we can get it from all kinds of places to build us up and to strengthen us for the days ahead. Just recently on Valentine's Day, it was a midweek, it was a Wednesday, so it was kind of a work day. But my wife and I made our best effort to exchange Valentine's pleasantries with one another. And I came home from Wednesday night service and I found my wife's Valentine's card that she had given to me. And I want to read part of it to you because it made for quite a chuckle. First of all, I want you to see the artwork on the front. Can you see that? And this is what she said in the first line on the inside. She said, "The cards were so expensive that I just chose to write you a note." And I thought, how awesome is that? How truthful is that? And she took an 8.5 by 11, folded it over, and made a heart, and wrote my name on it, and gave me a word of encouragement. I later told her that you can buy all artsy, pretty cards at Dollar General, 2 for $1, and that's what I had done. And so 50 cents is what I spent on her and wrote some nice pleasantries and some words of encouragement. I have to throw this in that I have learned, those of you who are grandparents, the value of FaceTime. And I was able to FaceTime my brand new grandson the other day and see him at a month old. And as he heard my voice, and I know he was smiling at me because he knows who I am, it was a great encouragement to see that electronic interchange. I'm actually going to get to go see him in about a week and a half. And I look forward to seeing my new grandson and getting some encouragement from him and from his family. I had a conversation the other day with my daughter that's just moved to Philadelphia, and she was dialoguing with me on the phone about a church that they were trying out, and one that they were meeting a small group and went snow skiing together and made friendships in a new church in Philadelphia. And it just was an encouragement to me to see my daughter and her husband finding their way to a place of faith in a far, far place away. Every moment that we've had exchange here today has been an encouragement to me, and I hope it's been to you and to one another as we share those warm embraces and those reconnecting from the week that's been, and the encouragement that is given with the warm embrace and the hug and the handshake and the how you doing and tell me about your life moment and the collection of that as we gather together to be encouraged with one another. A warm embrace, a well-sung song, a good message, all are matters of encouragement. And Paul, as he writes the letter to the Colossian Christians, has this same thought in mind as he delivers these words of encouragement that we read part of a moment ago in Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. If you have your Bible, you can turn there and look again with me in Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Paul was not actively involved with the Colossian church. He had a vested interest in it, but he did not have much time to spend with them and be with them, but he did have the interest to give them encouragement and instruction on how to be the church that they were seeking to be in their setting. They were wrangling over this matter of Greeks becoming Christians as well as Jews, and of how all of those different groups of people could come together and mix and mingle in one church. And Paul wanted them to know that everybody's the same when it comes to their relationship with Christ, and the color of your skin or the heritage of your life or your background or your class, whatever it might be, is secondary to this cause of Christ that is primary in the Christian church. And he wanted them to be encouraged in that end, and he wanted them to be encouraged to continue to thrive in their faith as they built up the church in Colossae, as they built it up and continue to serve in that way. And so in chapter 2, verse 1, it says this: "I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh." He's saying, I wish I could be with you, basically. I want you to be with you. But this is what I want you to know, even though I can't be with you. But that their hearts, verse 2, may be encouraged, being knit together in love, attaining all the riches of the full assurance of understanding to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words, for though I am absent with you in the flesh, yet I am with you in the Spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Paul wanted them to be encouraged. He first of all tells them that his desire is for their hearts to be knit together. Well, how does that occur? How does that happen? Well, their hearts are knit together by doing life with one another, by spending time with one another. Last week we talked about going deep in our relationships with one another, even though that might hurt from time to time, even though that might put a strain on our heart. And so it's important for our hearts and our lives to be knit together by doing life with one another, to celebrate the joys of life, to pray with the heartaches and the heartbreaks of life, to know one another more than just the casual how you doing and pass in the hallway, but to know and to do life with one another. We are called to be invested with one another and can expect to give in to that investment with one another, but can also expect the return on that investment as others are sowing into the fabric of my life and your life as well. And the truth of it is, as we face this difficult, cruel world in which we live in, we need one another to be knit together so that we might succeed, so that we might thrive, so that we might go out into the world and build up in the cause of Christ. Paul says that as we are knitting our hearts together, as we are bonding together with one another in the cause and in the leadership of Christ, we then begin to attain the riches of understanding, to attain the riches of understanding. Well, I want to let you know that the riches of understanding don't happen all at once. the understanding of God, the understanding of the Word of God, the understanding of our actionable, which is faith in God, the understanding of God interacting in life experiences, takes time. And if we are diligent about this matter of pursuing and understanding the rich and truthfulness of God, we will gain ground on it. We will know more. We will understand God more. We will eventually come to the place of wisdom and maturity. And this Christian life, and certainly in the matter of knowledge of God, will begin to open up and begin to help us more and more as we pursue the leadership of the Lord in our lives. It takes time. Over the last several months, I have had a house in Broussard that I had been renting to a terrible renter that had really trashed and destroyed the house. It was a horrible, horrible experience when she finally moved out and we came and took ownership of the house again. We cleaned out and hauled trailer loads and trailer loads of trash. And then my wife and I set about the task of painting the house. There was something in me that said, I want to take back my house. I don't want to hire it out. I don't want to pay for somebody to do it. I want to do it because it was such a terrible experience. I wanted it back. And so we set out to paint the house. What I found out over the period of time of painting the house, it takes a lot longer time than you think. And we're still not finished. There are these little nooks and crannies and corners that still don't have a swipe of paint. But every available minute that I have is spent getting that house back in order so it can be useful again. The same thing is true about our knowledge and understanding of God. There are things about God that we just don't know yet. But we can know if we stay with it and if we stay at it and if we diligently focus on the Word of God and find in page after page after page the truth and the encouragement that is for us as we study and invest in the Word of God. This, as he spoke of it in this section, this treasure of knowledge and wisdom that comes from knowing God. Sometimes we know God through the celebrations that are of life, like a new baby being born, like a family relationship or a job that's been rewarded or a celebration of sorts. But sometimes we know God even more as we have to go through the heartache and the heartbreak and the difficulty of life. And God meets us there too. And He gives us this knowledge of who He is, and it helps to grow the wealth of who we are as we relate to God. At the end of it all, we come to the place where our beliefs become unmovable, and we are not easily swayed by our understanding of God because we have been encouraged in the Word and gained that encouraging Word from God. Paul goes on and talks about the encouraging report. He says, "For though I am absent with you in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ." It is encouraging to get a good report about the ministry of the church, about the ministry of the believers. It is good to hear and see progress that is gained as we serve together. Paul was saying, I haven't been able to be with you, but I'm so thankful to get the good report. I'm so thankful that you are being steadfast in your setting. I am so thankful that you're making an impact in Colossae. I'm so thankful that you're representing Christ well, because Colossae needs a good Christian church to be messaging the cause of Christ. The same word of encouragement can be true of us as a church, as we interact and mix and mingle in our community. To have a good word spoken of the ministry of First Baptist Church is a good thing. To be respected in the community as we live from this church into the community in which we live, and then represent the cause of Christ in a simple and comfortable way to all the community, so that the community that we're a part of benefits from the good testimony and the good word of encouragement. It's also important for us as the body of believers to speak a good word about the church as we move and mingle around, to build it up, to strengthen it, to speak of its values and to speak of its good testimony and to speak of all the good things that are happening in the ministry of the church. It is amazing to see the ministry of First Baptist Church make its impact in the community, from the steeple to the coulee, and from the Monday ministry of food and the children's programs and the parade of children moving into children's time, today and brought by, they didn't just show up here, and brought by families that are seeking to give the children a place to learn and grow and thrive. And you just go on and on and on of the encouraging good report. We need to live able to give that good report. We need to live with that good testimony and that good reputation. Because that good testimony builds up and encourages and adds to the cause of Christ. Paul goes on and speaks to us in verses 6 through 8 about the encouragement that we are to have to continue in this way of the Lord. Look what it says again in verse 6 through 8. Therefore, as you have received Christ the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, as you've been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Be aware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Paul instructs them, and through the ages instructs us to, as well, to encourage, to be continually walking in the Lord. So as we read that verse of Scripture about the walk, we ask ourselves the question, how is your walk with the Lord? How is it? Are you in a place of vibrancy and growth? Are you reading and studying the Word of God? Does it make sense to you? Is it alive to you? Are you eager to be active in serving in the ministry? Are you eager to know more of God? How is your walk? Or do you find yourself kind of muddling through and bogged down and not really impacting the Word of God very much in your life? But Paul says to be encouraged, to continue to walk in the Lord, continue to be walking in prayer, continuing to be walking in the Word, continuing to be walking in worship, and find yourselves continuing and gaining in that way. Rooted in Him, dug down deep in Him, built up in Him, established in Him, faithful no matter what, and abounding. We have to ask ourselves the question, are we abounding in our Christian faith? You know, we sang about all these promises of Jesus and all these actions of Jesus at the cross and His exchanging His life for our sin. That and that alone should cause us to abound in the life that we have in that exchange for sin for salvation. This morning in our new member class, we were talking about heaven and got carried away, quite frankly, about the promise of what is to come for those who believe in Jesus Christ, the promise of a future that far outdistances and far outlasts the life that is right now. And it's guaranteed and promised for those who believe. It's the place where Jesus lives. It is a place where the mansions are prepared. It is a place where the glory of the Lord is fully shown and fully revealed and fully seen in your life. Are we living an abundant life in anticipation of that life to come? Jesus said, I came that you have life and have it more abundantly. He never said, I came that you had life and have it in an average way or in a mediocre way. He came that you have life and have it more abundantly. That means that as we walk around with Christ and walk around with the availability and the knowledge of the Word of God, it should be seen in our countenance. It should be heard in our voice. It should emanate out of our heart. It should show what our values are. It should be messaged to our world. And the world should see there's something distinctive and different about you and me because we are living that abounding, joyful life. It's as if Jesus was saying when He spoke it, He says, I give you permission to have the absolute best life you can have, full of the abundance that's promised to you and to me. Well, you might say, well, I just don't feel that. I just don't feel that right now. And I get that. Circumstances cause us to do battle or wrangle between the what could be and what really is. But in order to begin to fill up in this abundance, all we simply have to do is start claiming the truths and the promises of Jesus that are for us. We've been forgiven of our sins. We've been washed clean. We've been given a purpose and a plan by God. We have been custom made and custom crafted to live the kind of life that God has in store for us. He knows our name. He knows our dreams and our thoughts. He watches over us day and night. He gives us family to love and to be loved by. He gives us a church family to be bonded together with. And on we go. He promises us a future in glory with Him. There's no reason to be sucking lemons today when all of those promises are true for you and for me. Somebody say amen. Are we living that abundant life? Paul goes on and says in verses 9 and 10 that it takes a lifetime to fully realize and understand this encouragement then is ours. Because he speaks it again. In chapter 1, he spoke it in a way called being perfect. In this chapter, he speaks of being complete. Both resonate in our hearts and our minds. In other words, Paul is saying we're not there yet. The life that is a life to pursue perfection. The life that is now is to pursue being complete and to go after the teachings of Jesus so that all of the fullness of Jesus can dwell in me. Jesus, as it speaks of, helps us to understand that Jesus in all of the fullness of God can dwell within you, can dwell within me. Calling us to be complete, lacking nothing, cut off from the power of sin, so that we might receive the encouragement that is ours to have through Jesus, through His Word, and through the promises that are to come. And having received those words of encouragement and those truths of encouragement for our lives, then we can be the encourager that Jesus wants us to be. Let me encourage us today to receive the encouragement of the Lord and be an encouragement to one another as we serve.